Hey, Hicken here. Kuhn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can rely on Kuhn Flowers. Call 398-8601 or kuhnflowers.com.
I don't know what y'all been told, but a victory Monday don't get old. Yes, I know the Jags are 3-4. But don't you worry, we're going to win more. Come on now.
Turnovers, they come in bunches, you know. We had got one, we got a strip, and then they just start coming.
Come on.
You see the screen. Now the ball comes out. The ball comes out, and Jacksonville has it, I believe.
Take
a defensive takeaway at the best time for Jacksonville. Ronnie Harrison recovers it.
Take that.
Three right, two left, he drops. Fires middle of the field. Intercepted by Miles Jack.
Anytime you have turnovers or turnovers for points especially, it makes it a lot easier on us. Takes a lot of pressure off.
Looking at the four-man rush. It's going to be a screen. And it is picked off by Yannick Ngakoue to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown.
House call.
Pick 6. Yannick Ngakoue.
But when that fourth quarter hit, you know what I'm saying, we knew we had to set them out. That's why when we play with a lead, man, once we get up on the team, bro, it's... You know, it's going to be hard to stop.
Over with.
Just got a dub in Cincinnati. Duval!
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Oh, happy Victory Monday. Good morning, Tony Smith. How are you?
Doing well.
I don't know what to compare it to in life, but you know there are those moments when you... Maybe you try a certain food for the first time, right?
Okay.
Or you, I don't know, you drive the dream car, or I don't know, you meet the perfect partner for the rest of your life, whatever it is. But sometimes, until you get something, you don't know how much you missed it, right? You don't know how much you needed it without realizing it even existed until the last few weeks with Emmanuel leading us in with these intros on Jaguars Today. Well played, sir. Love that.
Little razzle-dazzle.
Little razzle-dazzle, y'all, is what he's throwing your way. Victory Monday. That's right. 3-4. So what? Celebrate it. You got to win this week. You play. How many games they play this week?
The one.
One? And they went 1-0?
You don't count the head games, just the one.
A lot of games being played this week, but only one that counts in the standings. And was it the most aesthetically beautiful thing? Nah.
No.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, there are a lot of good... moments and a lot of good things, a lot of offense generated. Didn't capitalize on all that yardage in the first half, in particular over 300 yards in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
He had 6 on the board. That was a little worrisome, but, you know, defense bowed up when they needed to. It was getting a little sticky at 17-0. As somebody pointed out, Tony, today we always ask you for your three main takeaways from the game, win or lose, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Somebody said, hey, man, this third and long defense, a little silly to let them convert a 3rd and 12 and a 3rd and 17. They did it on the same drive. Remember, it was 17-10, and Dalton scrambled for the 3rd and 12 right up the middle, and then he hit Tyler Boyd for 19 on a 3rd and 17, and then Miles Jack came up with a big pick. But it did feel like the Bengals had a little momentum going, even though they were down 17-10 at that point in time. And then the turnover floodgates opened for the Jaguars.
Oh, absolutely. Look, that's a... If you've been watching Jaguars football for the last 15 years, basically, you've seen a lot of Jaguars teams that outgain opponents by about 200 yards for some period of time, and you look up and they're only up 3, and you're like, what the heck is going on? And then...
And it doesn't get better.
It doesn't get better. They find a way to lose that football game. We've seen them do that over and over and over and over again. Yesterday, we talked about it for a week, beating the Bengals isn't about whether or not you're good, it's about whether or not you're terrible. And they found a way to beat the Bengals. So for everyone that's going to call the Jaguars trash, they're not a trash team this season. They're not a bottom dweller team this season. They may not be good. I don't know if they're good yet. And certainly beating the Bengals doesn't mean you're good. It just means you're not the Bengals for the 2019 season. We'll see what it looks like against the Jets. An important win for them because it keeps them on pace at least to be competitive in the 2019 season. And if you lose to Cincinnati, it's done. Like, it's done. If you can't beat the Bengals, home, road, underwater, I don't care where you're playing them, you got to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They found a way to get the win, and they dominated them for the most part in the game, and late, the turnovers finally came. The Jags are now 3-0 in games where they force at least a turnover.
Yeah.
If they get a turnover, they win. And it's been on. It's a little unfortunate they've only been able to do it in 3 of the 7 games. We'll see if they can get that thing going a little bit. They say they come in bunches.
Right.
Let's hope it continues.
It did feel contagious yesterday, right? The way the Jags were getting their hands on the ball there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And be careful when you get your hands on it, that you keep your hands on it
yeah.
to some degree. I mean, look, I don't even mind the Miles Jack little shuffle back to Ronnie Harrison or forward to Ronnie Harrison as the case may be. I don't mind. I really don't because I don't want to stifle these guys. I think Ronnie Harrison has shown he's actually pretty adept at running with the ball
mm-hmm.
on broken plays going back the other way. I'd like him to tuck it away and protect it better, but the initial reaction by Ronnie Harrison when he got that ball, because the way it was pitched kind of forward and the way he was facing, he just decided to take off to the other end zone. We had wrong way Marshall going
yeah,
on.
AJ corrected him.
Fortunately, AJ Boye was standing there like 2-3 yards right in front of him. No, no, no. Turn around, young man. Head the other way, and it all worked out for the Jaguars yesterday. So, look, again, wasn't ideal, but there were a lot of good spots. We'll talk about the good and the bad. Today's not really the day to worry about the Jets. We'll do that throughout the week. The Jets have to play tonight.
Yep.
Right now, the Jags, to me, the biggest worry for the Jags, what's that injury report going to look like Ooh. Midweek, man? I mean, guys were dropping like flies in the game
yesterday.
Yeah, linebacker
could be real interesting this week for the Jags.
I wouldn't doubt that they're going to have to go on the street and maybe go sign a couple of bodies. I mean, they're really – who do they have healthy in the linebacking core? Miles Jack. That might be the list.
Yeah.
Of guys that are not banged up in one form or another. I mean, it seemed like Quincy Williams is going out of the game. Out of the game. You know, like
yeah.
out of the game, not to return. And then now go on back out there and do your best. He was obviously laboring with that hamstring yesterday. But, hey, you know, got the W.
Got a week to get it right.
And
Najee Good got hurt. DJ Alexander hurt. Leon
right.
Jacobs hurt late
Quincy,
in the game. Quincy
right?
hurt.
Leon, I mean, the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Not good. Cam Robinson at left tackle, although I thought Cedric Abuye, he played fairly well yesterday, right?
Sure.
I mean, I didn't seem like it was turnstile in there. Geno Atkins is a man. Now, I understand, you know, listening to Logs and Baselli, he hasn't been playing up to that watching the film, but he's had his time in the sun in the National Football League. He's been at one point, I think he was one of maybe the best. Possibly the best three technique in the league,
mm-hmm.
right, before his initial ACL injury. This is going back a number of years now, but he whipped a couple of guys up front on plays yesterday, so that's a little bit concerning. But the offensive line did enough to help Leonard Fournette average 4.5 yards a carry, go over 100 yards, and put himself right now through 7 games, second in the National Football League in rushing. Now, granted, a couple of the guys behind him had the week off in Christian McCaffrey and Nick Chubb. Anybody complaining about Leonard Fournette being a top 5 rusher in the National Football League after 7 games? I'm certainly not.
No, I'm not complaining. No.
On pace to have
yeah.
the most combined yards in a season from scrimmage of any Jaguar in history, as a matter of fact. If he can keep that pace up, we shall see. And I think second only to Fred Taylor, only the second Jaguar to have over 900 scrimmage yards in the first 7 games of the season. Fred did it. Fred had a few more, maybe about 25, 30 more than Leonard did at this point in the season, which he accomplished that. So a lot of things going right in that department. Love to see him punch it in from the 1-yard line. No question about that. So the good and the bad from yesterday, what do you take away from it? The dust has settled on that other guy. He's out of town now. Trey Herndon, let's make some plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's rally around what we've got here. And Tony, I talked about this a lot with JP yesterday on the pre and the post game. I love the fact that I heard Leonard Fournette before the game. I heard Miles Jack after the game, and I'm sure there are others talking about it. They looked at this same thing that we've been talking about. 3-game stretch to get to the bye. We need to be 5-4.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't take away your focus from beating the Cincinnati Bengals, in my opinion. They know what lays out ahead of them just to acknowledge it. Hey, if we can get into the bye week at 5-4, that opens up a lot of possibilities for us in the second half of the season. So they're human, right? This whole, the next game's the only game we focus on has always been a little bit of BS, right? So it was nice to hear them acknowledge that before and after the game yesterday. If you'd like to get in today, the question of the day presented by Bud Light is, what are your top 3 takeaways from the performance by the Jaguars yesterday? Good or bad, whatever you thought, or mediocre, somewhere in the middle. You can weigh in on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at IME to the T. I got a picture of Emmanuel out there. He suckered me in with the minstache, man. I mean, like, I looked at him like, damn, are you really growing that thing in thick or what? Little did I know it was actually a prop that he's wearing on his face. But he's bought in, man. He is the head Minshew maniac
around these
parts.
The leader of the Minshew maniacs.
No doubt. So check my timeline. You can see what he is sporting today on his face. And he's got the glasses as well. He's in full regalia, ready to roll for Minshew mania. It's back, baby. Hey, they lost their first two. They won their next two. They lost their next two. Win this week, and they're back on pace.
Yeah,
and
then we'll break that little trend to the curb. Yes.
Yeah, we'll break the trend in London. It'll be great. If you want to get on board on the phone lines or the text line, built by Lifetime Enclosures, 641-1010 is the number to do it there as well. So hit us up with your thoughts on the Jaguars knocking off the Cincinnati Bengals, the good, the bad, and the somewhere in between. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and E.T. Jaguars today on a Victory Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Coach Red's always talk about just reading screens and things of that nature, and I felt like a soft set from that tackle, and I could tell when 25's in the game, he's more of a passing running back, 28's more of a runner, so I kind of figured it was like kind of a screen.
Dalton in a shotgun, two receivers to either side. He's off the throw against a four-man rush. It's going to be a screen, and it is picked off by Yannick Ngakoue to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, pick 6, Yannick Ngakoue extends the lead for Jacksonville.
The dagger there that put him away yesterday, Yannick Ngakoue. Tony, how many timeline mentions did you get? Hey, Yannick Ngakoue, or some variation of
that. Oh, plenty.
Theme.
Yeah.
Right?
Plenty.
Got a lot of that. Look, the Jags want to pay Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah.
They do. Jalen Ramsey not being here doesn't mean they're all of a sudden going to up their offer to him by $5 million a year. I don't know how far apart they are or ultimately were in negotiations. I don't think yesterday's play changes their mind. I mean, they know Jan's a really good player, right?
Yeah.
Jan's got 2 sacks in the 6 games he's played this year. He's out of 7, and which is fine. Look, I'm not. If he wanted to take that $19 million that was on the table, if that were the offer that we had heard about, and that's still on the table, I'm fine with it. You know, pay Yannick Ngakoue. Love to have the idea of whatever you have left with Calais Campbell, with Yannick Ngakoue and Josh Allen for the next year or two. I don't know how long that'll be, but ultimately being Jan and Allen as your dynamic duo coming off the edge, who's not all about that?
Sure.
But I don't think, you know, yesterday, him making that play, I don't think Shad Khan goes, yeah, we'll add another zero to the offer. Now, you know what I mean? I just think that they want Jan. They respect his value to the team, but they have a price that they're comfortable paying him, and others see it a different way. And just because he pops up with a big play yesterday, what about the games where he hasn't had the big plays this year? You know, I mean, like, they want Jan. I think I hope Jan wants to be here. The franchise tag is still available to them if they don't work out a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll get a long-term deal done this season. I hope they don't have to use the franchise tag. It creates acrimony. It just, you know, it's not make him happy. But it's got to work both ways, and hopefully they get something done. But for now, keep making plays like that, Jan.
Yeah, and a great play from Yannick Ngakoue, no doubt. And from some of the listeners out there who just talk about how unprepared and undisciplined this football team is, well, they had him prepared on that play. Like, this guy's in the game. They generally – like, they had these guys prepare for that. But, again, I guess people don't get credit when it goes right.
Right. Well, look, I mean, that's – and that's true. I mean, when Gio's in the game, he's been more of a pass catcher than a runner.
I thought it was funny, too. Like, Miles Jack talked about it after the game yesterday. The interception he made was in zone. And I was like, oh, those are fighting words in Jacksonville, saying you're making a play on a pass in zone.
Yeah.
I thought they don't do that around
here. Not allowed to, or at least it's frowned upon by some. And you know, he also talked about the offensive tackle with a soft set,
yeah,
right? And the way the offensive tackle was indicating he was going to block on that play, he read that key immediately and smelled screen coming.
Fantastic.
And, you know, that's a great diagnosis of a play. That's a guy who gets in and does his film study.
And really, it's been – look, he was dealing with the hamstring to start the year.
Yeah.
And he has been a better player the last 3 weeks. The best game that he's had this season yesterday. And I think he's healthy finally. And the snap count's showing it too. Since Yannick Ngakoue has been completely healthy the last couple weeks, his snap count is going up. Josh Allen's snap count is going down on this Jaguars team right now. And part of that, too, is they're playing Calais Campbell at defensive end more and more and not at defensive tackle at the three technique like they had to early in the season. And part of that is that Taven Bryan is playing well enough to get on the field
right
for this football team, and he's actually played pretty well the last couple of weeks.
Plays, right, as opposed to before the bar was, don't hurt us. Now it's, can you actually help us a little bit?
Yeah.
And, get it going, man. Keep it going, Jan. I hope Jan makes it makes them up their offer by $5 million because
yeah.
he has that kind of second half of the season. I'm all about it, man. So get the job done. I would argue though, the game against Carolina, he had the two sacks. You know, yesterday was a big impact play. Those were the two biggest games, obviously, for him this year. But either way, we're splitting hairs. Happy to have that performance yesterday. Let's get some calls going here at 641-1010. Carson is on the south side, going to crack the seal on us this morning. Good morning, Carlson. How are you? Or Carson, excuse me. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Happy Victory Monday to you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to call. I called a couple weeks ago, probably a month ago, and said I felt like Ronnie Harrison was really like a step or two away from, you know, being a true playmaker for our defense. And I think a month later, he's really stepped it up, and he's starting to gel a little bit. I was really pleased with how he played yesterday. I'd just like to hear y'all's thoughts on Ronnie Harrison and how much he's developed from, you know, week one to where he is now.
Sure. You know, I think the main thing is he's toned it down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now I don't worry about Ronnie Harrison flying off like a loose cannon because he's shown he can, you know, walk it up to the line a little bit and not go over the line. And that's fine. Emotion and all that enthusiasm and edge and all that is fine. As long as it doesn't hurt your team,
mm-hmm.
right? And it had in the past hurt the team. Now, in terms of making plays, yesterday he had the fumble recovery. He had the interception. He had the return on the lateral play, and he's had a few of those. I think Ronnie Harrison's a guy that can fill a box score in a number of ways. He is not that guy who's going to get you 8 to 10 tackles, solo tackles. At least it hasn't been the case so far this year, but he has – the big play potential, Tony. He's been, I think, solid overall. I'm sure he's given up some plays as well along the way, but he is turning into a bit of a playmaker for the Jags. Certainly had a really good game yesterday.
He did, and, you know, deserves whatever applause you want to give him for yesterday. I'm curious, you know, what happened in the meeting rooms coming out of Carolina, because the run defense the last couple of weeks against the Saints and yesterday against the Bengals.
Yesterday was epic run defense.
It really was. And whatever they got into these guys with following that Carolina game, and they deserved it because they were miserably bad in that Carolina game. And Ronnie Harrison was part of that problem too.
Sure.
Just not being in the right kind of spot. But for the last couple of weeks, these guys have really gotten the job done, taking away the run, and it's given them opportunities to win. They didn't come through offensively against the New Orleans Saints. They obviously did yesterday against the Bengals. But if they're going to play run defense like that, like we've seen them play the last couple weeks, they can win a lot of games.
That's how you
get it started.
If you take Andy Dalton out, right, and quarterback scrambles are those off-schedule plays, right, and Andy Dalton scrambling four times for 33 yards shouldn't happen against y'all that often.
No.
But if that's the worst they hurt you, you'll live with it, because between Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard, and Alex Erickson, who had a couple of carries on reverses, he was the one guy that was killing him yesterday, was Erickson. Between those three, they had 16 carries for exactly 0 yards. Joe Mixon ran 10 times for 2 yards. Now, part of that is they had a big, I think it was an 11-yard loss that Jan made that tackle on,
yeah.
right? That was and they had another tackle for loss when they got the ball after the turnover on downs on the first series.
Yeah.
On third down, you know, they kept field position kind of in the Jaguars' favor at that point in time. But Mixon was a complete non-entity for the most part yesterday, with the exception of the 2-yard receiving touchdown,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was it. But on the ground, they could do absolutely nothing. And that's, if you can make a team one-dimensional, you're going to have a lot better chance to beat them.
Absolutely. And that's where you start in the NFL with defense, is you take away the run and you make them one-dimensional. The last couple weeks, they've been able to effectively do that. And hopefully that's a trend that is starting for this team. And by the way, let's start the trend, too, of playing with a lead at some point in the game, because they are
a touchdown lead, and they're completely different. More dangerous.
It's just a different football team when they are playing with that touchdown lead. They've done it twice this year, and both times when they've been put in that position, it just became avalanche. Like, that's what they've been when they've been put in that kind of spot. It hasn't happened enough. Got to figure that out.
All right, let's go to Miles in Regency next up. Good morning, Miles.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. It's a good Victory Monday. So I called in last week, man, And I said something about Juwan Taylor needs more running reps on the strong side, and your rebuttal was, I don't know what the numbers look like, so I can't make a comment about that. Well, fellas, I have those numbers.
Good.
And I'd like to know what you think about them. Would you like to know what they are?
Sure, absolutely. Sure.
Okay. All right, so Lenny Fournette has ran to the weak side 45 times for 323 yards with an average of 7 yards. We've seen Lenny run through the middle the most with 53 attempts, rushing for 241 yards with an average of 4.5 yards. And to conclude with the strong side, my point, Juwan Taylor's side, Lenny has only ran over there 17 times for 20 yards with an average of 1.2 per carry. Fellas, don't you think we should run a bit more over there just to switch things up and to be a bit more versatile and to giving Juwan Taylor and maybe even Josh Oliver this upcoming week some more blocking reps? I'll take your comment.
All right. Look, I mean, you can look at it that way. Like, we'd like to be balanced. We'd like to be able to run to any area. My initial reaction, and it's not to be argumentative, although it often is, but in this case, this is my reaction is, if I told you these were the numbers and then the Jags went out next week and ran 20 times to the right side, wouldn't you go, what the hell are they doing? Yeah. Don't they see how successful they are running up the middle or to the weak side?
Yeah, if you're getting 7 yards a pop behind Cam,
you keep going.
I'd probably run it behind Cam.
I'd go behind anybody that I'm getting those kind of success rates against.
And it's what we keep hearing from Jeff Lagerman too, is even with all the criticism that Norwell gets, right? Like, he's been good in the run game.
Right.
Like, he's been good.
Buscelli's has said the same thing as well in the run game.
Yeah, he's been good in the run game, and when they've been going left, they are a different offensive line with Cam Robinson playing left tackle running the ball. They've been that at least to this point. Now, that doesn't mean they can't mix it up a little bit more than they have to this point. And okay.
And you want your right tackle to develop into a better run blocker than those numbers indicate.
Yeah, I don't know that that's an unfair point. Part of it, too, may be, you know, until this week, the guys that have been playing in front of Juwan a little bit, too, and maybe they didn't want to go to the strong side end as much, right? Felt like they had an advantage going the other way with it. Because I certainly think one of the things with Juwan Taylor coming in was that he was going to help you in the run game. And I think that that's still out there for Juwan Taylor. I would look at it and say, I'd be excited that there seems like room to grow, you know, with Juwan Taylor as a run blocker to that side of the field. I would look at it and say, yeah, we got some more room to get better in areas doing this too, and they've already been pretty good at it.
As far as Josh Oliver goes, I don't think Josh Oliver can get better. We don't know how good he is as a run blocker. His reputation is that's far from his strong suit.
Correct.
Right? But that doesn't mean he's going to develop into that kind of tight end. To me, he's more that move tight end, that pass catching weapon, like Baltimore uses Mark Andrews, right? They use some other guys as their inline blockers. They use Andrews basically as a big wide receiver. And I think that's how the Jaguars see Josh Oliver. And when they had their full complement of tight ends, you could see them running some two tight end sets.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving you a, is it going to be a pass or is it going to be a run? Look, ideally, you'd like to have one guy who's everything. I think Josh Oliver's a long way off from being that. And that doesn't mean you don't give him reps to try to get him better. But I don't think you just throw it. If you feel like you're running poorly compared to the rest of the areas to that strong side, and Josh Oliver is not a strong run blocker, I don't think Sunday afternoon is the time to get those, quote, reps in, if you know what I mean. You know what
no.
I mean?
No, I don't think so. And as you said, I don't think it's his reputation. I'll say this, too, about the tight end deal. Gardner Minshew was a much better quarterback on the eye test when he had James O'Shaughnessy.
Yes.
And that kind of thing was happening for him where he had a safety valve, even if
two
it was
three
just
times a, game.
A handful of times a game. Oliver coming back in gives you maybe the opportunity for that to be back. He didn't have it, obviously, against the Saints, right? It wasn't there, and he looked really uncomfortable against New Orleans with what they did to him. They ran the ball well enough against Cincinnati that it wasn't as big a deal, but he didn't look as comfortable as he looked a month ago, even in the game yesterday. Like, his feet do look a little happy. I think Oliver emerging to some degree in this offense is a really important step and would really help them for at least the next couple weeks, even if that is the amount of time that he's going to be playing as the quarterback with Nick Foles potentially being back after
the
bye.
Now, let's get Marcus in here before the bottom of the hour. Marcus, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I want to just talk about the offensive line as far as the run game. It was really solid yesterday. Shout out my boy Leonard Fournette. He did his thing. And I want to give a big, big shout out to Josh Allen. This guy's a beast, man. Josh Allen, he just had 5 sacks already. I'm projecting he's getting double-digit sacks this year. The guy's an animal. I'm so glad we got him, man. I just want to take my, you know, comments off the air with sure. that. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. You know what? And I don't know if, Tony, it's because, you know, maybe Unique Ngakoue plays more reps. Josh Allen's reps are fresher. You know what I mean? Like, because if they've got Calais playing defensive end and they've got Jan playing more reps and he's healthier, that's going to be less reps, but maybe more high-quality reps for Josh Allen. Either way, he got his sack for his 3rd game in a row. He's got 5 through 7 games. So no matter what he does against the Jets, provided he stays healthy, he's on pace for double digits for the season, which is pretty damn good. You know, I mean, if he does nothing else, he doesn't have to make, you know, he doesn't have to lead the league in tackles or the team in tackles or anything like that. If he can provide you 10 big plays, because along with those 10 big plays, how many other times is he going to affect the quarterback, right? How many times is he going to get a pressure or a quarterback hit where he doesn't get the sack? Typically, there's a good number of times that'll happen in conjunction with that those sacks are just kind of the tip of the iceberg. So yeah, I'm very happy with Josh Allen. Unless you're expecting, you know, a 20 sack season or you have some crazy expectations, I don't know how you're not happy with Josh Allen right now.
No, I don't know how you wouldn't be happy. And honestly, if you've been a Jags fan for more than 2 years, you can remember when they weren't getting sacks from anybody for a decade. Like, it's not that long ago. It's kind of the same thing with the wide receivers, right? Like, if you've been a Jaguars fan for any length of time, you know what the desert actually looks like from a sack and a wide receiver perspective. They are so far from the desert in both those spots right now that it's crazy how much they've gotten better in those two areas, especially over the course of the last 4 years.
All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll come back with more of your calls. If you'd like to get in and react to the Jaguars' win against Cincinnati yesterday, the good and the bad, what you see that worries you, what did you see that gives you hope moving forward? The Jags improved to 3-4 with a 27-17 victory. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Playing hard, you know, swarming to the ball, you know, getting pressure on Andy Dalton. But really, I think it's just guys, you know, been putting all the work into it. You know, been practicing it. And today was just, you know, reaping what we sow.
3 right, 2 left. He drops. Fires middle of the field. Intercepted by Miles Jack. Miles is running it back. Miles Jack, now he laterals the ball to Ronnie Harrison, and a flag comes in. Ronnie's running it along the left sideline. Ronnie Harrison is going to get knocked out of bounds. I'm guessing it's going to be an illegal forward pass, but a terrific interception by Miles Jack to stall the Bengals' drive. He drops to throw. Fires middle of the field, and that one's picked off. Ronnie Harrison, his second takeaway of the day. Ronnie is running it back and tackled inside the 40-yard line. Ronnie Harrison picked it off, and oh, listen to the Boo Birds now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of pent-up booing to do from basically the entirety of the franchise's history, right?
Yeah.
Granted, I was around. I know they made a couple of Super Bowls back in the 1980s, right? One early, one late, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. They made that one late in the 1980s. But, yeah, that was – the first one was, what, the John Taylor one, right?
I believe so.
With San Francisco,
yeah, yeah,
beating
yeah.
them on the John Taylor play. Anyway, it's been misery for the Bengals, and I'm glad the Jaguars could continue that and drop them to 0-7. You can't lose to a team that comes into the game 0-6. And somebody said earlier on the text line, here's my observation, the Jags beat bad teams and they lose to good teams. So far, that's pretty much accurate, right? Can't argue with that.
Sure.
You're going to have to turn that around, but they are where they're at the moment. And they beat Denver, who's won 2 games. One of those was against another of the teams they played in Tennessee. So, you know, in that little mishmash, Tennessee won yesterday. Tennessee may be the most difficult team to figure out in the National Football League from week to week, right? They switched quarterbacks, went to Tannehill, got up, seemed to have a comfortable lead, held on to beat the Chargers, who have got to be one of the biggest disappointments right now at 2-5. But, you know, at this point, Tony, we say it all the time, it's not college football. Nobody votes on the aesthetics of it. The polls are the standings, right? That's it. And so you're 3-4 with plenty of time left in the season. And thanks to the Colts for knocking off the Texans to keep everything nice and tidy in the AFC South. Everybody with 3 or 4 wins.
Yeah, look, it's not a game yesterday that I come out of it. And again, I don't come out saying, look, the Jags are good now.
Like, no.
That's not the way I feel about it. And look, I'm not totally sure who I'm going to pick on Sunday against the Jets, right? Like, I'm not sure which way I'm going to go. I'm really curious to see what they look like tonight, because I think this is a really tough game coming up against the Jets with Darnold and all those pieces back on offense that are effective again with a quarterback that can actually distribute the football for the New York Jets. So they may be 1-4, but I don't think they're a 1-4 team with Sam Darnold playing quarterback.
No, and you made the point yesterday. Chris Herndon will be back next week,
yeah,
who's a tight end. They had a lot of chemistry down the stretch last year. He was suspended, then injured. They expect to have him back next week. You got Robbie Anderson, who's the deep threat. You got Crowder,
right,
who's the underneath guy. And you got Le'Veon Bell coming out of the backfield. So
yeah,
there's weapons there.
If you play the same kind of game for three quarters that you played yesterday, I think likely you're going to look up and you're down 10 to 14 points,
right,
is the way that I would expect it to go against the Jets if you don't take advantage of your opportunities. That doesn't mean that they have to play the same game that they played yesterday against the New York Jets. I think you can look at it, and there are obviously areas where they got to get better. They got to figure out ways to close out drives. Clearly, if they can get another foot on that first drive yesterday, I think they would have just crushed the Cincinnati Bengals. If they had scored on that 4th and goal on the first drive, I think it would have just been all downhill for the Cincinnati Bengals from there. They didn't.
It gave them life.
It gave them life. And it was a funny sequence of events after it, because you get stopped on the 1-yard line, you force a 3-and-out, and the Jags are punting the ball back after a penalty and doing nothing on the next offensive possession, where the Bengals are getting the ball back in midfield.
Right.
After you...
Like, how did they pick up 40 yards on an exchange of 3
right,
outs?
Right. You gave up 45 yards of field position after giving up the ball on the 1-yard line and watching it going, what the heck is going on in this football game? Now, you still got the couple stops on defense after that and eventually got the field position flipped back in your favor a little bit, but it did feel weird early on. Like, you were doing everything you could to keep life for the Cincinnati Bengals. And then finally, you made a big play on defense, and it was like, okay, it's done, right? Like, once you made the first real big play on defense, okay, they're not coming back from this at this point. They're just not good enough. And they're going to play a bunch of teams that are way better than the Cincinnati Bengals. So, yeah, they got to be better than they were yesterday, but you get credit for the ones that you get. And look, like you said, it's not a poll. You're 3-4.
You're 3-4. And
you're a game and a half back of the Colts.
I don't care how ugly it is. If you beat the Jets,
yeah,
I'll be very happy they're back at 500 next week.
And you keep
potentially tied for the most wins in the division.
Absolutely. You keep yourself in a position where you win the next two, and I think you keep your realistic playoff hopes alive. That's a lot to ask. It's not like it's easy, but it's the position that I feel like they're in after not taking advantage of an opportunity against Carolina and not taking advantage of an opportunity against New Orleans. They put themselves in a spot where they need to win these three. Backs against the wall a little bit from a playoff perspective. 1-for-1. Let's see if we can make it 2-for-2.
Well, you do make a good point, too. It's not just the Jets game. The Houston game is much more important. Much more important. But the Jets game is important as well. It's a conference game. It's not a divisional game. But if you can get that and have that momentum of a three-game winning streak going into the break, if you're able to get both of the next two games. But the Houston game, obviously the more important of the two, being a division game. You've already lost to them once. This is your, quote, home game against them coming up in London. Now, you don't want the Colts to go run and hide either, but for yesterday, you wanted the Colts to win that game, at least I did, and not let Houston get to 5-2 and have that two-game separation with a head-to-head tiebreaker on you, where you felt like at that point, then that week 9 game is almost an elimination game for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
If they lose it, at least, it would be a potential kind of elimination game. On the text line, happy victory Monday. After Jalen's comments, and there were a lot of comments that he made, and quite frankly, I don't care about most of them at this point. I'm pretty much over it, although I do find it amusing how he was rarely challenged on his media tour about what about the fake injury. Because Deion Sanders asked him, what about the back? And Jalen just kind of like rolled his eyes and laughed. He's like, yeah, this Rams staff really went to work or something. He obviously, I mean, if there's anyone out there who believes he seriously had a back injury,
it's a joke
that is left over at this point, you're the biggest Jalen apologist out there. But this isn't just about Jalen, this post here or this text on the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. Happy Victory Monday after Jalen's comments. It's possible A-Rab also left because of Tom Coughlin, and could be why Telvin is taking leave of absence. If so, TC needs to be let go. I'm not letting Jalen off the hook for his actions, but his comments have me thinking about the possibility more players feel the same way. With Ngakoue coming up for extension, we can't continue to lose talented players that we drafted. We were there in the building every day when the A-Rob thing was going down. I don't think for a second that Tom Coughlin played any factor in Allen Robinson's decision to go. He went for more guaranteed money with Chicago. If you look at what they paid him, he wasn't worth it. You and I would have franchised him. We've been over this ground before. Mm-hmm. But had we franchised Allen Robinson last year, would have overpaid him. Because he a year removed from his ACL injury, he did not play to that level. And he was not worth $15 million last year as a wide receiver. Now he's playing great football this year. But Tony and I know for a fact they offered him a contract that if he played this way, he would make the money. But he had to play this way. They didn't want to pay him based on what he had done a couple of years ago, putting up 1,400 yards. They wanted that kind of production going forward. If we're going to pay you like a top-of-the-market wide receiver, we want you to perform like a top-of-the-market wide receiver. Now, I understand Allen Robinson saying, no, I want the more surety of the guaranteed money, and I'll go play somewhere else, and maybe I won't have to catch him from Blake Bortles. Not that Mitchell Trubisky is any kind of a gem necessarily, but I think he had tired of as much as anything from the inconsistency of Blake Bortles to be able to deliver the ball accurately. I don't think I can't speak for what is in Telvin's mind. I don't know. And neither does anybody else that I'm aware of, at least. That whether it's a Coughlin-related thing, a Marone-related thing, I have no – or just none of the above. I really don't know. But I don't think Allen Robinson had anything to do with Tom Coughlin. His leaving had anything. And not in my opinion. And again, we had a pretty front row seat for that going down.
And if it did, he never expressed it that way.
Never you know, a hint that I can recall anyway.
I don't think A-Rob was particularly happy with his quarterback. And I think that was the bigger deciding factor for Allen Robinson. And I'm not convinced that if they had made the same offer Chicago did, that he would have stayed.
He might have gone.
I think that he wanted to be away from Blake Bortles. Now, I think it's kind of funny that he's playing with a guy that seems to be very Bortles-ish up there in Mitchell Trubisky. That just, it's not going very well for him this year, and that Bears offense is struggling because of it. But, yeah, I think that Allen Robinson, if all things were even, I think he was ready to leave Jacksonville. And I don't know how much of that had to do with Tom Coughlin. I've never heard him express it that way or hint at it being that way. I certainly think he had an issue with the quarterback. That, I feel like, is pretty clear based on what he said. And I go back, too, with the Allen Robinson thing. I mean, that is a guy that he made the public comment that he feels like they get a better home field advantage in London than they get here when they play at home in Jacksonville. Allen Robinson said it. Like, I don't think he ever really loved being in Jacksonville, and that's fine. That's his prerogative. And if he had the opportunity to go and chose another deal, okay. You know, he's allowed to do that too. That doesn't mean that the team didn't want to keep him, and it doesn't mean that they didn't make a competitive offer to keep him. I think all those things can be true at the same time. Allen Robinson chose to do what he felt was best for him.
All right, moving on from A-Rob, we'll get back to some of your social media submissions coming up and a lot of comments coming in and questions as well on the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. You're welcome to get in there at 641-1010. Same number works on the phone lines if you want to voice your comment as well. On Mondays, brought to you by Bud Light, we ask you for your top three takeaways from the most recent Jaguar game. This one, of course, a 27-17 victory, moving the Jags to 3-4 and keeping them within at least a game in the win column at the top of the AFC South. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith coming back. This Dayton football, the Roland Reach roll around the National Football League, and plenty more on your Jags. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, a couple of nuggets for October 21st throughout the years of 1973. L.A. Rams defensive end Fred Dreyer became the first player to do what twice in a game, Tony?
Defensive
end.
He intercepted a pass.
No, he recorded two safeties in one game in the Rams' 24-7 victory over the Green Bay Packers. That was back in 73. Famous birthdays for this date. I'll go in reverse order because I think the other one's more interesting. The first, in 1981, happy 38th to Willis McGahee. He was the 23rd pick in the 2003 draft. Didn't play. Is he the only player to win comeback player of the year without having previously played a down in the National Football
League? Maybe. I don't know.
That's right. He came in with a torn ACL, and the Bills selected him in the first round nonetheless. He went on to win 2004 comeback player of the year, went on to have four 1,000-yard rushing seasons, ran for nearly 8,500 yards, 65 touchdowns, and was a two-time Pro Bowler as well. And Mo Lewis as well, born on this date, which is interesting to me, E, because the Jets play the Patriots tonight. It was back in September of 2001 when Mo Lewis tackled Drew Bledsoe and injured him. Drew Bledsoe would return, I believe, for one series after that. That was the end of the line. Tom Brady came in, and the Jets basically started the Tom Brady era in New England by knocking Drew Bledsoe out. And it was a Mo Lewis hit that did it. Mo Lewis, former Georgia linebacker, 50 years old today, a three-time Pro Bowler in his own right. And, of course, the Jets and the Patriots matching up tonight. So maybe, just maybe, I'm not wishing for anyone to get hurt, but maybe the Jets could help institute the Jared Stidham era. Thanks, up in Mo. Foxborough. What do you think, E?
I'm pro.
You're pro Stidham era?
Let's go.
He says as he strokes his minstash in there, his evil minstash. All right. So Mo Lewis, 50 today. Willis McGahee is 38 today. And that does it for this date in football history. All right. There you have it. Tony will be back with me in a minute. We'll go around the National Football League. But let's check in. Let's dip into this text line here. Driven by, or built by, Lifetime Enclosures, I should say. It's been driven in the past. It's built right now, is what it is. A bunch of different things coming rapid fire. So I'll try to deal with as many of these as I can. Why don't the Jags put DJ Hayden at cornerback two and Herndon at nickel? Because I don't think they think Herndon's a really good nickel at this point in time, right? Not everybody has the skill set to do that. One thing they do like about DJ Hayden, he does have the ability to play outside. There's no question about that, but he's very effective because he's a really good blitzer, and you play in the slot, you know, over the nickel of the slot corner. You're the nickel corner, and you have a closer path to the quarterback. Saw him force a fumble yesterday, which was nice. And also, here's Doug Marrone cut two, right? Doug Marrone's being asked about a lot of big plays, particularly the turnovers in the game. Here's one that Doug wanted to highlight that he thought would go undetected or unnoticed otherwise.
I'll tell you the play that people aren't going to talk about. The play before Yannick intercepts the screen for the touchdown, DJ makes a hell of a play on the screen prior to it. So prior to that play, DJ makes a play on the sideline, right, the first screen. Then they come back with another screen, you know, and then next thing you know, Jan's got a big play.
DJ Hayden, it's one of those plays that just kind of goes – unremarked upon, unnoticed, but here's Gio Bernard with the ball in his hands, and he holds him to a no gain and, you know, sets up a second and long and pressure with Andy Dalton backed up. And Tony, we're just talking about DJ Hayden. Why don't they move him outside? Couple of reasons. I don't think they think Herndon is as equipped to play the slot as DJ Hayden is, and he's really good. He's really effective at what he's doing right now. He's playing at a high level.
Yeah, and I think you play 60 to 70% in your three cornerback package anyway, right?
Right.
So you're talking about playing, you know, maybe an extra 15 snaps a game on the outside. I don't know how comfortable Hayden is. You know, I'm sure he's fine moving back to the outside. The way they're handling it seems okay to me. And I don't feel like there's a liability right now on the outside with what we've seen. I think early on it looked like maybe it was going to be with the step back, but for the last couple weeks I think it's been fine. And DJ Hayden has given you so much. I certainly don't want to move him out of the slot. No way. When they got three corners on the field, I want him playing inside. He's making so many plays.
All right, let's go back. Text line here, built by Lifetime Enclosures. Try to rip through some of these comments here or questions. Was Coughlin even here when A-Rob left? Yes, he was. Coughlin came in 2017. A-Rob missed that season with the torn ACL. He left the following offseason. Tom Coughlin had been here a year at that point. Another person said, again, you guys are always talking as if money is the only driving factor for these players. Pretty sure we clearly said Allen Robinson didn't want to play with Blake Bortles, and that factored heavily in his decision-making.
Yeah.
But I do think money is the number one driving factor, yes. And don't kid yourself. It would be in your industry, too. And you might say, oh, you know, I really don't like playing for them. They're going to pay me what? Or I don't want to work for that company. They're going to pay me what? How much? And it's guaranteed. What? All right. I'll go do it. I think a lot of us would be that way. I do think money is a big thing. Here's another one. I was at a concert at Daly's Place on Friday night. The team should have stripped the stadium of everything Jalen related the second the trade was completed. Hopefully everything was face on his down before this Sunday. I have a feeling it will be.
Yeah.
Let's see. What Jalen said speaks volumes. It's going to stop free agents from coming here, and players will stay far away via trades, et cetera. And you all know the NFL is a small community. To some degree, why did Calais Campbell say he signed here, Tony?
Tom Coughlin was here.
Because the presence of Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
He signed here specifically. Never spoke to him. He said, the fact that I knew he was there, I knew you had a guy who knew what it took and the sacrifice it took, and I'm paraphrasing Calais. We had a conversation when he joined the team, Tony and I, on the air, and he said Tom Coughlin's presence was the reason. Guess what? Go back to that other reason. Money. If they offer the most money, people will sign here as well.
Yeah.
This idea. Jalen, go out there and say anything he wants about. For all we know, by the way, the front office will have some changes in the offseason. We don't know what the front office is going to look like going forward.
Yeah.
But I don't think for a second that guys are not going to sign here because of the presence of Tom Coughlin. There may be a few, but money speaks volumes. And if you've got the cap space, they will come for the money. That's what I feel.
I agree. And look, I think you and I both are tired of talking about the Jalen thing.
Absolutely.
I'd be happy not to talk about it again. But I can say, to me, coming out of what happened yesterday with his couple of interviews that he did, is I am more convinced than ever that nothing was said in that meeting that actually rises to the level of disrespect for most people. I'm more convinced of that than I have been throughout this entire process. And I think Jalen, considering he was willing to say in his interview yesterday on ESPN that there were people in the offseason from the team that were calling him a bum and that were saying that he wasn't working, that he had a bad work ethic, and that he wasn't putting in any kind of effort, when all Tom Coughlin said was the rights and privileges thing. All he said was, we want everybody here.
Didn't say Jalen wasn't working hard where he was.
No.
Didn't say
no
he wasn't a hard
said
worker.
It. Right. And he hears what he wants to hear and fills in the gaps.
Or he spins it the way he wants
Absolutely.
You to hear it.
I really don't think anything that was said in that meeting and probably rose to the level of actual disrespect, but it's disrespectful to him.
We've seen disrespect come from Jalen, and he doesn't seem ridiculous to admit
about
any of that. Kind of again, I'm tired of the whole thing as well, but I think he was very careful. He did not say someone called him a bum. He, and I'm paraphrasing him as well, said it was made out like he was a bum, like they felt he was a bum. Like he interpreted it like they thought he was some kind of bum.
Yep.
Give me a break. I mean, Sean Conn was just saying a couple weeks ago, we want to pay him. We want to keep him here for the long term. Is that a bum? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The guy's being incredibly self-serving at this point. Here's, and I'm taking them in the order they're coming in here. There's two sides to every story. Jalen's so hypocritical. Doesn't seem like he understands disrespect. Coughlin's a two-time world champ. Next one, Jan shows up and acts like a pro on and off the field, so TC will not be breathing down his neck. I guess TC is responsible for Telvin losing weight and his mind too. LOL. I don't know what.
Well, and I'll say too, I don't think necessarily that Tom Coughlin and the organization has no culpability in how it gets to a point where a player of Jalen Ramsey's caliber, we wind up here. I think they do. And I think there's a serious conversation to be had about that. That doesn't make Jalen right. And it doesn't make him right for handling it the way he did. And it doesn't make him right for faking a back injury for 3 weeks. And if you still don't think he was faking a back injury, I don't know what you're looking at. He faked a back injury for 3 weeks so he wouldn't have to play anymore. Then he lied to the owner's face, it would appear. And that was finally the last straw. He quit. You can believe that Tom Coughlin in the front office for the Jacksonville Jaguars needs to be looked at. That doesn't make Jalen right for how he handled the situation, or in my opinion, any less of a villain or bad guy for what he did to the organization. And they got to deal with it too, right? Like, everyone's going to be held accountable on this thing. I don't know what the standard is for Shad Khan to bring everybody back. There has never been an answer on that, but I think there is a threshold that they need to meet for people to be safe in their jobs here in Jacksonville going into the 2019 offseason, and we'll see if they meet that or not.
Here's one, again, we're going down this rabbit hole. It seems silly at this point. I don't think Telvin ever plays again for this football team. But somebody sends me a screenshot of a tweet from January of this year. And it said something was said to Telvin. This is not the tweet. This is the comment. Something was said to Telvin during his exit interview following the 2018 season. No one ever asked which clown he was talking about. He went silent after this tweet. Had to be Coughlin. Here's the tweet that Jalen sent. A lot of people can say a lot of things, but numbers don't lie. Look at all numbers, not just one, you clowns. How is that evidence? I mean, I'm not saying Tom Coughlin didn't say anything to him. I don't know, but well, how do you draw that Tom Coughlin said anything clownish to him when...
I would also point out that Dave Caldwell would be much more of a numbers guy to me. Tony Khan would be much more of a, I have a number here that shows how good you actually are guy to
me. Tony's a total advanced metrics guy.
Much more than Tom Coughlin would be in that kind of situation. And again, I don't know who said what to Telvin Smith. I have no idea.
No, and I don't think either does this person.
No.
As Telvin can be as cryptic as he wants, but he certainly didn't mention anybody by name.
No.
And look, these guys, I'm sorry. This is, hey, if we're going to critique you, and you can't handle it and you're going to quit and that's what this is about, then good riddance. Honestly, I don't know what it's about. I don't know why Telvin didn't play this year, frankly. And if you're not here, I don't really think about you, quite honestly, until people bring him up. But if it's that, if somebody critiqued him and they said, hey, we think you need to get better, and they pointed to some metric and he's like, look at all my numbers. My numbers are good. I make a lot of tackles. I do whatever, whatever. Maybe that was it. But if that's enough to get him to quit football? Really?
Yeah. I think it's got to be more than that.
I would hope it's a little bit more than that. That seems incredibly weak-minded, quite frankly. I don't know. Again, I'm trying to get in Telvin's mind. I don't know why Telvin's not playing football this year. And frankly, I'm just happy the Jags beat the Cincinnati Bengals.
We're 3-4, baby.
We're 3-4, E! Come on, somebody. Huh? Got to get one of those... Min stashes that he's sporting
in there. I got you. Don't worry, I got you.
You got more of those?
Of course.
Oh, all right. You know what? Beat the Jets. Get the 500. Might be Min Stash Monday around these parts for the whole crew.
I like that.
All right. We will come back. If you want to get in, 641-1010 gets you in on the phone lines or the text line, which we've been going too heavy today. We'll check in on Twitter as well. Your response to the Jaguars victory, your top three takeaways from that game yesterday, good or bad, for that matter. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and ET, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL, Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, 641-1010. I do find it, I don't know, comical's the word. It's amusing. I wish people could see what we get sent to us, right, in terms of what people are talking about. And trust me, we went pretty much the first hour. All we talked about was this game yesterday, right? But if you see the text line, it's 80-90% all about Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Is what people are talking about. So for us to not – I get it. There's a certain segment out there that I can't hear another word about this guy. And I totally understand that. But it's still fresh and raw to a lot of people out there. And based on the feedback we get, a lot of people – this is an issue that's on a lot of people's minds. And it's not 80-90% – saying stop talking about Jalen. It's 80-90% weighing in on Jalen's in the wrong, Jalen's in the right, front office, it's this, it's that, and they're giving their opinion on a subject that is still something that is driving a lot of conversation in Jacksonville, and we would be remiss if we didn't respond to that.
Yeah, they traded away maybe the best draft pick they've made since Fred Taylor.
Yeah.
And spending a week talking about that doesn't seem silly.
Especially when the saga has dragged out.
It's like dragged out, and you've still heard nothing from the front office that made the decision to trade him. And I think that's ridiculous, too. Like, I think Tom Coughlin should be answering questions
no
about
doubt.
This.
No doubt. Somebody and brought that point up. When they should. I mean, the Rams can do it for an hour or whatever, a half an hour, however long. Les Snead sat up there talking about why they wanted to acquire him, the other moves they made to trade off Marcus Peters. I absolutely agree. That's been their philosophy, though. We're not going to speak in the season. And then guess what's going to happen after the season? Well, that's old news. We're not going to talk about that. He's no longer a part of the team. So they're not going to talk about
it. Yeah, and I'll say that's ridiculous when they do that, too.
Absolutely.
But I don't have hiring and firing power with Tom Coughlin, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
Somebody on the text line, again, built by Lifetime Enclosures, Tom Coughlin the only VP to be sanctioned by the league this year. But, yeah, no, he isn't a problem. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Not everyone listens to the program every day. I don't know how many times we can say it, Tony. The minute he made those comments about Jalen. They violated the CBA. Yeah. You're not only not allowed to compel someone to be here, you're not allowed to even talk in language that would try to compel them to be here for something that's voluntary. What he did, Tom Coughlin, in saying this is not about a player's rights, we expect 100% attendance at a voluntary thing, was a direct violation of the CBA because teams and representatives of those teams are not allowed to apply pressure on players to make them feel like they don't have the right to not voluntarily be there.
Yeah.
And we were 100%
I can't even
on Jalen's rights and the fact we have never criticized it. Tony and I haven't, a guy who has not shown up for a voluntary OTAs because they bargained for that right to not be here. If the teams don't like it, then they need to add that into the next CBA. That's tough.
I could barely I was barely paying attention to anything else that happened at the State of the Jaguars. Like when Tom Coughlin came up and said it, I was like, oh my God. Like, you can't say that. Like,
right.
There are going to be repercussions for him having said that. And one of them seems to be that Jalen gets to turn it into, he called, they're saying I'm a bum. And
whatever, man.
I mean, don't put in the word.
But
like,
if you listen to the show over time, you know, like you may hear 5 minutes. And I feel like for the people who do listen all the time, they're sick of me repeating myself on the things we said, but it's I know people listen and their listening habits. People listen for 15 minutes at a time. They drop in.
Certainly.
Hey, you know, I just tuned in. How come you're not talking about this? Well, we might have spent an hour talking about that.
Could have, yeah.
That's just the way it is, right? So no one is saying that Tom Coughlin, that wasn't an issue. Tony and I led the charge on that.
I'm not
immediately.
I'm not even saying that TC isn't an issue for the football team right now. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that doesn't make Jalen okay. That doesn't make the way that he dealt with the organization and quit his way out of Jacksonville, that doesn't make it okay. And it doesn't mean that if you're a fan, you have to sit back and say, oh, well, Tom Coughlin's a problem too, so I guess it's all right if he does whatever the heck he wants.
By the way, there were four people in that meeting with him, according to Jalen, right? Four front office people, as he put it. How many front office people do they have?
TC, right? Dave,
TC,
Tony.
TC, Dave, Tony Khan, Sean
Khan. Sean was in there, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Mark Lamping, that's not his side of the business, right? I mean, John Idzik helps manage the salary cap. That's not his end.
No, but I suppose it could have been him.
Maybe.
I don't know
why he'd be there. He'd be
I would assume the other three were.
Well, let's say that the Khans were in there. Why is it that we assume that whatever was said was solely coming out of Tom Coughlin's mouth?
Yeah, he said it was a couple guys.
And that there were four people in there. And if you, like, if you're in a meeting with four people and a couple of people express an opinion, the other guys shut up, I'm going to assume those other people agree with the people who are talking.
I would too.
Right? Otherwise, they would speak up and say something different in that environment. So, whatever. Again, let's move on. What do we got? Who is that? Eli in Orange Park? Up next. Hi, Eli. You're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if it was brought up. Rewind back to the New Orleans game. Minshew had that knee brace on, multiple opportunities to tuck the ball and run. I don't know if you guys have addressed it or you've heard anything about how that knee is holding up. It looks like it seems to be doing better off of his runs from the last game.
I mean, he ran nine times for 48 yards, so I don't. To me, it's not a concern at this point in time. At least, you know, and I don't know that for a fact, but it just, you know, just trying to use some basic logic, wouldn't you think, Eli? I mean, he looked pretty good running around yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes me, you know, think about the New Orleans game if there's something more going on because, you know, he was staying in the box and paid for it.
He did, and Eli, thank you.
I think the Saints kept him in the box.
That was the Saints. They talked about it afterwards. That was their game plan to keep him in there. He was trying to kind of bounce around a little bit and really didn't find that escape valve. So hard to say, but look, these guys are tough. They really are, right? Don't lose sight of the fact, Tony, this is such a brutal freaking sport.
It's
unbelievable. I mean, guys were dropping like flies yesterday on hits where you're watching, you're like, well, that wasn't so bad. And then the guy could barely move or get up. And so, yeah, these guys playing pain all the time. I'm sure, I don't know how bad, you know, Gardner Minshew was dealing with that knee with the brace and how much that affected him, but I'm glad to see him be able to run as effectively as he did yesterday.
Yeah, he ran the ball much better. I think the Bengals aren't good enough to do what the Saints did, keeping him in the pocket, and he took advantage of it on several opportunities. And, you know, you watch guys dropping like flies, as you said, across the league, and you understand why players push back as hard as they do on 17 and 18 games regular season talk, because it's so hard for guys to survive 16. The idea of expanding it by a game or two, Yeah, it's a brutal, brutal game. And what these guys have to go through to get themselves ready from Sunday to Sunday to just get back on the football field. I mean, these guys walking around the building on Monday, it's a mash.
No doubt. By the way, Geno Atkins made a couple of terrific plays yesterday and made those two sacks.
Yeah.
Only two times your quarterback got touched yesterday. Two quarterback hits for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Pretty good.
So overall, you know, and that's in part Minshew's mobility, the offensive line, quick release, heavy reliance on Leonard Fournette to keep him off balance. By the way, Leonard Fournette over the last four games now has run it 29, 23, 20, and 29 times. So minimum 20 carry workload each week.
Yeah.
And in that four-game stretch, he's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. You know, the old adage of he gets stronger as the game goes on kind of thing. Put it this way, he's certainly not wearing down because of a heavy workload. By far his heaviest stretch of the season. Prior to that, he had 13, 15, and 15 carries. Still doing well, but overall, Leonard Fournette, seven games in, is averaging 5 yards a carry. And isn't that something to celebrate, in the short term at least, compared to where he's been the last couple of years? Let's get Mike in St. Johns County next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What's up, buddy?
I appreciate you guys, man, taking a subjective view on any topic that has anything to do with the Jaguars. And you guys want to look at both sides, because my comment today is I want to kind of balance it out a little bit, because I hear fans, you know, text you guys about TC. We need to fire TC. I mean, since TC has been here, the team is better. And we need to balance it. I mean, you guys have Tommy Mack on. You have Logman on. The show in the afternoon has Leon on. All of them will tell you Tom Coughlin rubs people the wrong way, but all of them respect Tom Coughlin because he demanded the best out of them, and they were winning under Tom Coughlin. So people who want to get rid of TC, and who's to say that TC is going to be out in the end of the year and it's not anybody else? And we need to be careful about making TC pay for Dave Caldwell's sins, because Dave Caldwell, he's been in seven drafts, and let's see, A.J. Cann, Lender, Ngakoue, Miles Jack, and Jalen Ramsey. I mean, that's five people in four drafts that he drafted, okay? So let's look at T.C. T.C., people like Chark, they like the two tackles we got, Leonard Fournette, they brought in D.J. Hayden, Calais Campbell. A lot of these players, you know, that are contributing are from TC's draft class, D.D. Westbrook, Cole. So people that enjoy the games, they love the Jaguars, you got to see things for what they are. Does TC handle every situation perfectly? No. But when you look at every organization and every team, they make draft misses, they make draft hits, but the team has lost by one possession the last couple weeks. When was the last time we could say that?
No, you're right. They're definitely more competitive. It doesn't help you when you lose, but I agree with you, Mike. It's not like we're looking at the third year of the Gus Bradley era, right?
No.
Where, you know, we're like, is this ever going to improve? They're certainly much more competitive when with a six-round quarterback who you have to give them some credit for drafting him, don't you? I mean, mm-hmm. Look, people can say, well, you lucked into him. Well, nobody else lucked into him. They're the ones who took him. So, again, you know, I'm not here to be Tom Coughlin's cheerleader. I hope that Mike is reflective of a lot of people's opinions that we do try to see both sides of it, Tony, or at least lay it out. Now, ultimately, we may come down on one side over the other, but I think there's clearly there's good and bad in everything, right? Jalen's
sure.
a phenomenal player. Nobody ever questioned Jalen. I'd hope Jalen would be a career Jaguar. But at the same time, I don't think you can bend your organization to one player's moods and whims. And I think that too much of that was required to keep Jalen Ramsey happy in Jacksonville.
No, I'm with you. And I think given whatever level of talent you feel like they have, especially with that 2017 season, if there's a level of expectation that you had for them and they didn't reach it in 2018, I'm right there with you. And we'll see what it looks like at the end of 2019, right? And I do think that it's fair to have expectation when you have the pieces that they had, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And if you feel like they don't reach what you think they should with that level of talent, okay. You know, and people should be held accountable to that. But that doesn't mean they don't get credit for what they get right. and they have gotten some things right, Dave Caldwell included in this time.
Yeah, and I don't know if Mike may have listed him or not in his list of his hits for Dave Caldwell. Telvin Smith's got to be considered a hit.
Absolutely.
Whether he decided to walk away or not. I mean, a guy who led the NFL in tackles for a half decade is a big-time hit, especially where they got him in the draft. And Mike may have mentioned his name. I wasn't sure. But anyway, doesn't matter. I'm not trying to keep the whole ledger here in front of us. Mike, thank you for the call and your opinion. If you've got one, you're welcome to share it with us at 641-1010. If you're on the line, I know a couple of you have been hanging on. We will get to you coming up in this next segment. Got to hit a break here just past the bottom of the hour. We'll come back, take your calls, and as well look at your top three takeaways from the Jaguars' 27-17 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, getting a lot of questions, and we've got some numbers on Leonard Fournette and short yardage that we will get to here coming up shortly. Matt Teague, former Gator, was weighing in with me yesterday on Twitter, and he just thinks, as he puts it, as a former football player, never quite understood the concept. If you're going to jam it up the middle, why bring everybody in tight and almost signal like you're doing it? Mm-hmm. I think it's a football mentality, Tony. I think it's, you know, like yesterday, what did Anthony Lynn say? If you can't get 1 yard, you can't win the game. Well,
that's technically true.
Right. In that case, it was. But, like, you don't have to run it right at him.
No.
You know, you can do a lot of different things. They had Melvin Gordon. They had two, like, I think it's two touchdowns that were overturned on replay right at the end. Mm-hmm. They were out of timeouts. It was crazy what was going on. And then Melvin Gordon fumbles it into the end zone and Tennessee recovers. It was that close, the difference between victory and defeat yesterday. But, you know, when it doesn't work, people remember it. But we'll get to the numbers on Leonard here coming up in a moment. Let's get a couple calls in the order they came in. Wayne in Mandarin, patiently hanging on. Wayne, thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Did you guys get a chance to see the ESPN interview with Ramsey?
Yes.
Was that the same Ramsey that had the news conference last week in Jacksonville, loaded with MFs and all that kind of stuff? That was amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. It's funny. You can clean it up for the right audience, I suppose.
And of course, the guys were standing above him, screaming at him. You know, I personally think it's a good idea for the Dolphins not to say anything, because as soon as they say something, Ramsey's going to say we're lying. So, but the game yesterday was just amazing. It was quite a day for our turnovers finally. Yes.
Yes, and much needed, and that's what they're
no
capable
there,
of.
Yeah.
And it goes to show. I mean, turnovers may be the most important stat in football. Right? I mean, really might be in the end of the day. How many free possessions do you give yourself? How many possessions do you steal from the other team?
I think it most directly affects points.
Yeah, which is the most direct effect on winning and losing.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah, absolutely, Wayne. We were happy to see that.
And as we said early on in the show, they have forced a turnover in three games this year. They're 3-0. They have not forced a turnover in four games this year. They're 0-4. When they force a turnover, they've won.
Right.
This
it's
year.
Not the only correlation.
No.
But it's a pretty strong one.
It is.
Right? Let's go to Chris on the north side. Wants to talk about Fournette here before we roll those numbers out. Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
I just wanted to mention to the Jag fans, if they haven't read the article in the Bleacher Report about Leonard Fournette, it's a really good read. And at this point, it actually looks like it's coming true to some point. And, with that, I just wanted to point that out.
Okay.
And I hope if Jared Goff ever goes down and Blake becomes Jalen's quarterback, I wonder how long he'll hold the mouthpiece. We'll see you.
I hope. I mean, who doesn't want to see that happen, right? I mean, come on. The best. Could the Cincinnati Bengals win the first game next week, please? Would that not be fantastic?
There's no way I think it happens, but. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Leonard Fournette Bleacher Report story, but I'll look for it now.
It was a good one. It was right on the eve of the season.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it was him talking about why he had gone to Wyoming and what he had changed, like in like just his personal life to get him back on track a little bit professionally. Like the things that he was changing to get himself back in the right kind of headspace. And yeah, it is a really good read.
By the way, I'm blaming Joe Cowart now. Full on. It is not your fault if you call in and call it the Bleacher Report, because that's what it's Bleacher Report, right? It's like calling it the ESPN. Have you seen what was on the ESPN? You know, it's not. It's this Bleacher Report. And I blame Joe Coward because he always says that Matt Hayes works for the Bleacher Report. Mm-hmm. It's Bleacher Report. It's not the ESPN. It's not the Sports Illustrated. It's Sports Illustrated. It's Bleacher Report. Same thing. All right. That's just me being picky. All right. Tony, somebody asked us to kind of quantify. Why is Leonard Fournette so bad in short yardage, right? Why are the Jags so bad at converting those third and fourth and shorts? What numbers were you able to glean, and how does that educate us on how Leonard Fournette is actually doing in these circumstances?
Yeah, it is interesting. Taking a look back at the game logs for this year, Leonard Fournette on opportunities where he was given the ball with 2 yards or less to go, second, third, or fourth down,
okay,
he was 14 of 20 on the
70%.
Season. 70%. On third and one, he is 3 of 6. When you compare that to, I couldn't find maybe the last couple years, but there was a period of 5 years where the league average was 67.1. And that was from.
But if he converts one more of those, that's such a small sample.
Yeah.
That if one of those third and ones gets converted that didn't, then he's at 67%.
Yes. And 3 of 4 on fourth and one, which I don't know how that compares to the league either. And he is above the league average when it comes to converting.
Wait, do you know which one he didn't convert on fourth and one?
I do. he is above league average on third and, what is this? Third and two or less. So I think Leonard Fournette is a physical enough runner that him being league average isn't good enough. I think that's fair to put it that way. And I would say saying Leonard Fournette is terrible at it is unfair as well, because the numbers say that he's not terrible at it. I think that you can expect him to be better than what he's been.
Sure. And by the way, if I recall correctly, I mean, in 2017 – you know, he leapt over the pile more than once, right?
He did.
To score. And so, you know, I know a lot of people were saying yesterday, at least in my timeline, well, why didn't he just run it? Why didn't he just power it up in there? Why is he trying to jump over the pile and losing his legs? Well, he's been successful doing it in the past. I think, to me, this is my speculation. Now, first of all, you know, you get into that second and two or third and two, fourth and two stat, it skews it a little bit, right? Because second and two, they got to be wary of the play action, go over the top kind of thing, right? Third and two, fourth and two, that's when you're really, the defense is gearing up to stop you from running it right down their throat. But I think what happens is you see him miss yesterday on one at the goal line.
Yep.
And then you see him miss on the two-point conversion early in the season. The two most important ones that I can think of this year.
Yeah.
And he failed in them. And so you're like, oh, this guy can't ever convert a third or fourth and one. Why is it? Why are we so bad on it? And, you know, later in the game, they convert one, a fourth down and short. It probably was a fourth and one at that point in time. So I don't
think they're terrible at it. I think they're not as good as they should
probably be. Should be better. You're right. But it's not probably not as bad as the perception some people have because of a couple of really blatant failures at big moments, right? I think that's
absolutely
fair to say.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back here in about 2 minutes. We'll take a look at a few of the takeaways that we haven't gotten to via Twitter this morning. But in the meantime, let's bring in the Bleacher Report culprit, Joe Coward.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Did someone say game day? Here at Moe's, we've got your back so you don't have to miss a single play. Order your tailgate catering online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, Josie is here. You know you're a legend to me, right? You're like the godfather to me. You have helped me in my career so much. You really have, right? I mean, for people who don't know, Joe and I go back.
We go way back.
Long time. Way back into the mid-90s, right? Yeah. And St. Augustine Radio. And but I hear you. And Hacker has gotten sucked into this vortex as well. Matt Hayes, the Bleacher Report.
It's the truth.
It's his Bleacher Report. That's all it is.
Well, but it's the damn word report. Because
it's the report, right?
Yeah,
right.
Just totally. Like, I see it all the time, and it says it in the name, and so I have to put the in front of it because of the word report.
Report. I got you.
Like, I could say The Athletic,
which is what it's called.
Yeah, but
right, it's not just Athletic.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that one is The Athletic, but you don't say the ESPN or the Sports Illustrated.
No, you don't. The CBS Sports. No, you don't
do
that.
So that's all. And so I was trying to absolve.
I know I drive him crazy.
Our like, caller.
Like
on
one
that.
Time, one time I was Pujols and I was Danica Or Donica.
Donica.
Donica,
oh, okay.
Patrick, Danny. And Pujols. Who's driving him crazy?
Pujols, right?
Yeah. Pujols, yeah.
Now you're making me question myself.
But I love the Pew, you know? Pew.
I gotcha.
But no.
The funniest one to me is, like, no one on Yannick Ngakoue's team will say anything but Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah. Right? Especially Doug.
Doug, Dave.
Yeah.
Teammates.
Yeah.
He'd probably be fine with it, but.
What does Jalen call him? Whatever he says, we'll go with.
Ex-teammate. I don't know. Maybe future Ram. I don't know. I don't know what he calls
him. Pretty sure Jalen thinks his first name is Pay.
Yeah.
Pay Jalen Ramsey. All right, Joey, just quick observation yesterday. Since he's bad, but you had to get it.
Yeah, I know. I just wish they could score more, okay? It's the most frustrating thing ever to go for it on fourth down, get stuffed early, and then go through an entire half without any touchdowns.
Right. 300 yards of offense, yeah, though, they couldn't put it in the end zone.
They were doubling and tripling them in yards or time of possession.
They were 3-1 in yards.
And so against a bad football team, you can get away with that. You have to figure out a way to score more touchdowns.
Oh, no question.
Even though they scored 24 when it was all said and done.
You know, and people bring that up, and I understand the point. You know, you got to be – if you expect to beat so-and-so, you got to be
Holy
better. Well,
cow.
Guess what? That'll be a new game, and maybe they will be better.
Yeah, they you know? Have to – that part of it.
No
obviously,
question.
The Titans not being there is definitely a hindrance for sure.
All right. Have a good show today on DXL Primetime. All right. There he goes. Joe Cowart from DXL Primetime. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith wrapping things up. Give me a look, if you would, at a few – of
sure.
The salient observations that we got on Twitter today from yesterday's game.
From Ian, we got Fournette has changed my mind, made me a believer. Our offensive tackles need to play much, much better. And the Jags fans travel. It's fantastic to see in person how much teal and black was in the stadium yesterday. From Aaron, pointless penalties need to stop. Fournette starting to look like a franchise running back. Jan needs to be paid. And from Crash, ugly wins still count as wins.
Yeah.
Teams seem to unite in second half. Defense still leaky. Need to fix that.
Hey, look, they're not a perfect team.
Nope.
They're not an elite team.
Nope.
They may not even be a very good team.
Nope.
But
we don't know yet.
They won yesterday.
They won yesterday.
And they got a chance to do it at home this week and get to 500. And right now in the AFC South, that'll keep you afloat for another week.
Absolutely.
So go out and get a W. We'll check the tape a little bit deeper with Jeff Loggeman tomorrow. Johnny O on Wednesday. D-Rock will be in probably buying breakfast on Thursday. D-Rock,
we'll
if you're listening. D-Rock needs maybe Julian Edelman to stage a protest and demand to be traded and hold out tonight to have any hope to not be buying breakfast. And then Tommy Mack on Friday. That'll do it for us. Happy to be talking to you on a Victory Monday. No matter what level of competition the Jags face yesterday, they can't be choosy. Victories are great when you can come by them. That'll do it for us. For Tony, for E.T., the head of the Minshew Maniacs, I'm Mike Dempsey. Back again tomorrow from 10 to noon. Right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...